Bernard, this is important. I have to finish these cabinet defence papers.
I'm afraid this is much more urgent, Minister.
What is it?
Your Christmas cards, Minister.
No. I don't make this spelling any longer.
Right.
Oh, which is which? Well, they're all clearly labelled, Minister. These you signed Jim. These you signed Jim Hacker. These Jim and Annie. These Annie and Jim Hacker. These love from Annie and Jim. No. Oh, those are printed and those have cyclo-styled signatures, so you needn't write anything. Just check to make sure they don't include cards that should have been personally signed Jim or Jim Hacker or Jim and Annie or Annie and Jim Hacker or Love from Annie and Jim.
What about those?
Those are the constituency cards. Your election agent dropped them off this morning. As you see, they've been divided up. Those you signed Jim, those you signed Jim Hacker, those Jim and Annie, those Annie and Jim Hacker, those...
Thank you, Bernard. I think I've got the gist. Is that the lot?
Apart from the ones waiting for you at party headquarters.
Party headquarters? I didn't do those last Christmas.
Well, you weren't party chairman last year.
Do I have to send this one?
Why not?
It's to Maurice in Brussels. He's the one who forced through the plan to standardise the Euro sausage.
Euro?
By the end of next year, we shall be waving goodbye to the good old British sausage. We'll be forced to accept some foreign muck like salami or bratwurst or something in its place.
But they can't stop us eating the British sausage, can they?
They can stop us calling it the sausage, though. Apparently it's got to be called the emulsified high-fat offal tube.
And you swallowed it?
It's my job to implement EEC regulations. Could finish my career.
But what have they got against our sausage?
Oh, dear. Don't you ever read the papers you give me?
Well, yes, I glanced at it, Minister, but it rather put me off.
Apparently, there's not enough meat in it. The average British sausage consists of 32.5% fat, 6.5% rind, 20% water, 10% rust, 5% seasoning, preservative and colouring, and only 26% meat, which is mostly gristle, head meat, other offcuts, and mechanically recovered meat, steamed off the carcass.
Then feel particular. I had one. I had one for breakfast. Perhaps the EEC commissioner is right.
He may be right, but it'd be extremely unpopular with the voters. Oh, well, we shall just have to grit our teeth and bite on the bullet.
You can't bite a bullet if you're gritting your teeth, Minister. You see, if you do that, you can't get the bullet.
Sorry. By the way, Bernard. You were going to advise me what presents it would be suitable to give to the private office.
Well, of course, that's entirely up to you, Minister. Bottles of sherry for the assistant secretaries, large boxes of House of Commons mints for the diary secretary and the correspondent secretary, and small boxes of House of Commons mints for the rest.
What about my personal private secretary?
Oh, that's me.
Yes, of course. What should I give you?
Well, you don't have to give me anything.
I know that, Bernard, but I'd like to.
Oh, Minister, well... anything, really.
Does that?
Well, really, I would like a surprise.
What sort of surprise should I give you?
A bottle of champagne is the customary surprise.
What time is my meeting with Humphrey?
Oh, that's been cancelled, Minister. Sir Humphrey had to rush away to an urgent meeting with the Cabinet Secretary.
The Cabinet Secretary? Which makes me feel rather nervous. You know, in some ways, Sir Arnold is the most powerful chap in the country. Permanent access to the PM, controls cabinet agenda, controls access to everything. I wonder what he's up to.
By the way, Humphrey.
Yes?
I've decided to retire early.
Oh, happy one.
In the new year.
Ah.
My successor has to be someone who can be firm with our political masters.
Oh, absolutely. No nonsense with that lot.
But tactful?
Very exactly. Suave. Charming. Emollient.
And above all, sound.
Sound? Oh, yes. Sound.
So, my heavy duty is to convey a recommendation to the Prime Minister as to which of the present permanent secretaries best meets these stringent criteria.
And, have you, does anyone,
You see, in this job, the problem isn't really finding the answers, it's finding the questions. We need the man who can find the key question.
By the way, Arnold, to change the subject completely, what will you be doing when you retire?
Very good question. Very good question.
It's just that there might be jobs you could pick up, ways you could serve the country, which your successor, whoever he might be, could put your way, persuade you to undertake.
Well, I have been giving it some thought. As you know, I shall be chairman of the Banque Occidentale, and there'll be directorships of IBM and BP and that sort of thing. But I was thinking...
Yes?
Well, the chairmanship of the Opera House Trust will be coming up next year.
Chairman of Covent Garden.
And the chancellorship of Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And then the deputy chairmanship of the Bank of England would be a...
A challenge.
A challenge, exactly. Yes. And head of the Security Commission. And the presidency of the Anglo-Caribbean Association would give one
a chance to be of service.
Precisely. Especially during the winter months.
Well, I'm sure that any successor worth his salt would be able to arrange these, Arnold.
You think so? That's very reassuring. Very reassuring.
Good.
But there is another thing. Certain advice one may have given the Prime Minister could, if it emerged, be misinterpreted.
What sort of advice?
Well, all sensible and reasonable, obviously, but advice about using troops during strikes. A very sensible precaution that they should be armed, but taken out of context. Machine guns...
Oh, I'm sure that need never come out.
And I did suggest negotiations with South Africa about reactivating the Simonstown naval base. Absolutely sensible strategically, of course, and a great help with the Falklands. But if one were in line for the Secretary Generalship of the Commonwealth...
Embarrassing. And, of course, you would be in line to be Secretary General of the Commonwealth.
Would I? How gratifying.
And I'm sure that the right successor would see no problem in keeping those files under wraps.
Good. Anyway, to get back to our original point, I think my colleagues and I can now see our way forward to placing your name at the head of the list.
I see. Can I ask how many other names will be on the list?
Oh, I don't think there's anyone else, quite honestly, who's quite up to scratch. Have another drink. By the way, you should know I've accepted the presidency of the Campaign for Freedom of Information. Well, it's very popular with the opposition, and today's opposition is tomorrow's government, and it will mean one can ensure that the freedom is not abused. So, here's to the continuity of sound government.
And freedom of information.
Whenever it's in the national interest.
Minister, I have some very grave news.
Yes.
The relationship, which I might tentatively venture to aver, has been not without some degree of reciprocal utility and perhaps even occasional gratification, is approaching a point of irreversible bifurcation and, to be brief, is in the propinquity of its ultimate regrettable termination.
I see.
I'm on my way out. There comes a time when one has to accept what fate has in store, when one passes on.
Passes on?
To pastures new, perhaps greener, and places oneself, finally, in the service of one who is greater than any of us.
Humphrey, so sorry.
Thank you, Minister.
Lady Appleby know?
Well, she suspected it for some time, apparently.
When did they tell you?
This afternoon.
How long did they give you?
Oh, just a... few weeks.
Few weeks?
Well, it'll give me enough time to sort everything out.
You're so terribly brave.
Well, one is a little anxious, of course. One is always rather wary of the unknown, but I have faith somehow I'll muddle through. What's the matter?
Sorry, what's that?
Well, we had our ups and downs, but...
Oh, Minister, don't take on so. We'll still be seeing one another regularly. Yes, once a week at least. What? I haven't told you where I'm going yet. I have been appointed secretary to the cabinet.
Secretary to the cabinet?
Yes. Why, what did you think I meant?
I'm quite myself today. I'm a little tired. Overwrought. Things have been, you know...
Oh, I am so sorry. Perhaps as cabinet secretary designate, I should suggest to the Prime Minister some lightening of the load.
No, don't misunderstand me. No, I'm fine.
Good.
So, you're going to be cabinet secretary?
Yes.
Cabinet secretary? Secretary to the cabinet.
Yes.
Well, that's a great honour. Congratulations, Humphrey.
Well, thank you, Minister.
Of course, that means that... You and I.
Oh, alas, yes.
How shall I manage?
Well, you'll probably manage even better without me.
Yes, I probably... No. Good. Well, Humphrey, so you're going to do for the Prime Minister what you've always done to me. For me. PM's right-hand man, advising on issues.
Right, so.
And people, no doubt.
Minister?
Humphrey?
Yes, Minister?
I want you to know I think you've been absolutely wonderful. Highest admiration for all you've done. Wonderful work. Wonderful work. Finest tradition of the service.
Oh, Minister, you're too kind.
Yeah, I just hope you feel that I... Mm-hmm. In my... when things are... Well, if it should come up... I think we've made a jolly good team here together, you and I, don't you, Humphrey?
I couldn't have wished for a better minister.
Oh, Humphrey, you're too kind. Well, when are you going to break news of your departure to the staff?
Well, on Friday evening, I thought, just before it's promulgated. I will bid them farewell at the Christmas drinks party.
That'll certainly make it a happy occasion.
And sad.
Sad, yes, sad. Terribly sad. Enjoy yourself?
Yes, thank you,
Minister. Young
lovely party.
Yes, Minister, it's frightfully good fun.
Yeah. Always good to let your hair down, isn't it? Right. Now, I think it's time I said a few words. This is a very, very special occasion for us all. Peace on earth, goodwill to all men. Sorry, person. It's always good to have this little get-together amongst the people who serve me, work with me, for me, no, with me, here at the Department of Administration. The Ministry of Administration. At the DAA. We're a team. We're like the cabinet. Except we're all on the same side. Not the cabinet. No, well, I meant... Really, the shadow cabinet. Yeah, let's keep politics out of this. Seems that will. That's why Parliament doesn't sit over Christmas, eh? Ah, seize their goodwill. Even to one's officials. Well, what can I say? Humphrey.
Sir Humphrey Appleby.
Humphrey. Thank you very much. I would, just like to thank you all for all the hard work you've done all these years. Occasion like this engenders a certain emotional ambiguity and personal ambivalence.
What's ambiguous about it?
While one is, one should say. Honoured by the cause of one's departure, one is saddened by the fact of it. In particular, saddened by having to leave the service of a minister without parallel in one's experience.
That's jolly.
And break a unique partnership.
Absolutely unique.
So, I should end, I think, by wishing a happy Christmas to you all, but in particular to a minister whom, in the brief time that we've had him with us, we've watched grow in standing, in stature, and in sureness of touch. So, it seems no felicitations to you all, but please, please, do remember the Home Secretary's campaign for the holidays. Don't drink and drive this Christmas.
I'll drink to that. Oh.
do wish you'd let me drive, Jim.
I'm driving perfectly stably.
We do have to get home before dawn.
Principal.
Can I see your license, sir?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you Mr. Jim Hacker?
Yes, that's right. What's just the trouble?
Any reason you were driving so slowly?
Well, I didn't want the curb to hit. I didn't want to hit the curb. But look, I've got a silver badge somewhere.
I see. Perhaps you'd like Constable Evans to drive you the rest of the way.
Oh, no, it's all right, officer. I'll drive.
All right, Mrs. Hacker, if you're in a proper state to drive.
Oh, I don't drink, officer. Well, not when my husband's driving.
Well, not I. Hardly.
Well, there we are.
Nice little place you have here, Humphrey.
Thank you, Minister.
Well, I thought you handled your first cabinet meeting very well. What was it like? Sitting next to the PM.
Yes, do sit down, Minister. I've asked you to drop in for coffee because I've been made aware by the Home Office of a report on a traffic incident.
Yes, see.
Now, of course, it's entirely your own affair.
Precisely.
But I'm told that the Prime Minister takes a very grave view. He feels that ministers should set an example.
Humphrey, you're not trying to tick me off or anything.
Oh, Minister, far be it from me. I'm only a servant of the members of the Cabinet, a humble functionary. But I have been asked to reassure the Home Office that it doesn't occur again.
Well, what do they give us silver badges for?
It's a very special privilege, Minister. It allows us to pass through police cordons and security barriers to park in prohibited areas and so forth. It is not to protect drunks who drive cars.
I will not be lectured by a functionary, even one as humble as your good self. I'm Minister of the Crown.
Yes, yes, of course, Minister. I do apologize. I will inform the Crown of the incident, if that is your wish.
Well, now I think of it, I think you can tell the Home Office that I take the point.
Thank you, Minister.
Does the Home Secretary himself know?
It hardly matters. I'm afraid that the Home Secretary has not been as lucky as you were, which is why he wasn't at Cabinet. Now, as you're aware, he personally initiated this Don't Drink and Drive at Christmas campaign and ordered a Get Tough policy from the police.
Yes.
Yes, well, unfortunately, he too was picked up last night for drunken driving in his own constituency. Have you seen the first edition of the Standard?
Where on earth was this security man?
Well, apparently he'd given them the slip. You know how cunning these drunks can be.
Couldn't they have hushed it all up, you know, silver badge job?
Well, his case was rather different. He caused a lorry to overturn. It was full of nuclear waste. Then he rebounded from the lorry into a private car. It was being driven by the editor of a local newspaper.
No.
So, inevitably, it leaked out.
The nuclear waste?
Well, the story.
Well, obviously, the Home Secretary will have to resign.
Alas, yes.
What on earth will happen to him?
Well, I gather he was as drunk as a lord, so after a discreet interval, they'll probably make him one.
He's obviously been held up. You can stamp some of these cards for me while you're waiting, if you like.
Oh, but aren't they too constituent?
Yes.
Well, that's not government business, Mrs. Hacker. That's political activity. I'm not allowed to help with the minister's political activities.
Suppose they were also journalists.
Oh, that would be all right.
They're also journalists.
Fine. I suppose licking is an essential part of relationships with the press.
I hear the reshuffle is about to be announced.
Oh, yes, it may be on the news.
I like to watch the news. It's my best chance of finding out where Jim is.
There was no question of American military personnel getting involved. We've just had a news flash. It has been announced by number 10 Downing Street that the Prime Minister is to retire early in the new year. He has said he does not want to serve through another parliament and wishes to give his successor a good run-up to the next election. That's all we have. We'll bring you further news as soon as we can.
Have you heard the news?
Yes. And that's what this afternoon's emergency cabinet meeting was about. Tell us.
Why so suddenly?
He said it was to give his successor a good run-up to the next election. So that's obviously not the reason.
Why?
There's some extraordinary rumours going about. The left say he's a secret CIA agent. The right say he's a secret KGB agent.
Minister, I've heard something quite different. That there is £1 million worth of diamonds from South Africa in a Downing Street safe. But of course, it's only a rumour.
Is that true?
Oh, yes.
Are all those diamonds in Downing Street?
Are there?
You just said they were.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You said you'd heard this rumour. I said, is it true? You said yes.
I said, yes, it was true that it was a rumour.
You said you'd heard it was true.
No, I said it was true that I'd heard it.
I'm sorry to cut into this important discussion, but do you believe it?
Well, I believe I heard it. How about the diamonds?
No.
Is it impossible?
No, but it's never been officially denied. First rule of politics, never believe anything until it's officially denied.
General election?
No, there's no need. The majority's big enough. The party will just choose a new leader.
You want the job?
Me? Oh, no chance. It'll either be Eric or Duncan. Of course, it should have been Ray. He was deputy leader. But he's had to resign as Home Secretary. Of course. That's why the PM resigned.
Why?
He's always hated Ray. He just hung on long enough to make sure that his deputy didn't get the leadership. Like Attlee and Morrison.
So the resignation is to give time for the new leader to be run in before the next election.
Now that the Home Secretary has been run in already.
Eric wants me to support him for the leadership. Yeah, he could be the right man. He's been a fairly successful Chancellor. I've already indicated that I'm on his side.
What about Duncan?
Duncan, yes. Well, Duncan could be the man. He's done fairly well at the Foreign Office, after all. I think I shall support Duncan.
So you're supporting Eric and Duncan?
It's all very well, Eric, but if I support Eric and Duncan gets it, well, that's it. And if I support Duncan and Eric gets it, well, that's it, too.
Then don't support either of them.
Then whichever of them gets it, that's it.
So who are you supporting?
Duncan. Or Eric.
Duncan's so divisive. So it really would be for the good of the party. The good of the country.
Eric, I don't see how I can.
Your support would be crucial. You're universally popular.
I don't know.
Good public image?
Yes, I suppose so.
Regarded by everybody as such.
Am I?
So, if you put your weight behind me...
But you see my problem as chairman of the party.
I don't know what would happen if Duncan got it. Disaster!
Well,
I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't keep him at the Foreign Office. I'd be looking for a new Foreign Secretary.
But, as I said, I must appear impartial. But, of course, there could be ways of hinting at my support for you in a perfectly impartial way. But, Duncan, as chairman of the party...
As chairman of the party, you carry even more weight. You haven't got any real enemies. Not yet, anyway.
But it's my job to be impartial.
But if Eric got into number 10, it would be catastrophic for the country.
Well, yes.
Jim, we're on the same side, aren't we?
Yes.
Good. I'm going to win, you know. And I never forgive people who let me down.
I can't make my support too public.
It doesn't have to be public. Just so long as everybody knows. And then when I'm in number 10 and Eric's in Northern Ireland, we know who'll be the next Chancellor, don't we?
Do we? You mean...
Unless you fancy Northern Ireland yourself.
How are things at the campaign for the freedom of information, by the way?
Sorry, I can't talk about that.
You
So, will the new PM be our eminent chancellor or our distinguished foreign secretary?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Which do you think it should be?
Difficult. Like asking which lunatic should run the asylum.
The trouble is, they're both interventionists. They both have foolish notions about running the country themselves if they became prime minister.
Have we any allies?
Oh, quite a few, yes. Chief Whip particularly. But he's worried that whichever gets the job will antagonize the other's supporters and split the party.
So we're looking for a compromise candidate.
Malleable?
Flexible.
Likeable?
No firm opinion.
No bright idea?
Not intellectually committed.
Without the strength of purpose to change anything.
Someone who you know can be manipulated, professionally guided.
And leave the business of government in the hands of the experts. Mm. Oh dear. It's impossible.
Why? A lot of the government would welcome a, shall we say, less interventionist leader.
Well, not the other two candidates.
They might be persuaded.
Want to stand aside?
Yes. Have you had a chance to glance at their MI5 files?
No.
Oh, you should always send for cabinet ministers' MI5 files if you enjoy a good laugh.
Hello. Oh, Bernard.
So, just...
Thank you very much. Yes, do sit down.
Oh, thank you.
Happy New Year, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much.
Right. So, this is our very last piece of DAA business.
Yes, I'm afraid so, Sir Humphrey.
Oh, well. Bernard, just let me ask you something. What would you say to your present master as the next prime minister?
The minister?
Yes.
Mr. Hacker?
Yes.
As prime minister?
Yes. Are you in a hurry?
No, I'm just checking to see it wasn't April the 1st.
Are you suggesting that your minister is not up to the job of prime minister?
Oh, no, Sir Arnold, it's not for me to, well, I mean, of course I'm sure he's, oh, gosh.
There is a considerable body of opinion that can see many advantages in the appointment.
For Britain?
For Britain.
Yes, well, yes.
So we trust you to ensure that your minister does nothing incisive or divisive over the next few weeks.
Avoids anything controversial.
Expresses no firm opinion about anything at all. Now, is that quite clear?
Yes, well, I think that's probably what he was planning to do anyway.
What's it all for, Bernard? What are we all doing? What does it all mean?
I didn't read theology, Minister.
The waste of it all. Take that EEC reception last night. Humphrey introduced me to an official who spends his entire time paying a lot of farmers to produce masses of surplus food, and then he introduced me to another official who spends all of his time paying a lot of others to destroy all the surpluses. And then they pay thousands of bureaucrats to push masses of pieces of paper around to make it all work. Doesn't the futility of it all depress you, Bernard?
Not really, Minister. I'm a civil servant.
I've been talking to Eric and Duncan. I think I promised to support Eric's candidature.
I see.
And then I think I promised to support Duncan's.
Well, that sounds very even-handed, Minister.
Yes. I can't keep my promise to both of them, shall I?
Well, there were only political promises, Minister, weren't they?
Yes. What do you mean?
I mean, like your manifesto promises, people understand.
Yeah. Trouble is, looking back, I can't remember either of them making any categorical promises to me.
Well, then you have no problem.
Yes, I have. I've still denied him to support. You see, it's not just a question of picking the winner. My support could tip the balance. The real question is, do I want to be Foreign Secretary or Chancellor of the Exchequer?
Neither, do you?
Why not?
Well, they're both such terrible jobs.
No, You're talking about two of the top three cabinet jobs.
Well, yes, I realise that, Minister.
Well, you're just a civil servant. You don't really understand politics.
Sorry.
To be a success in politics, you have to be in the limelight. You have a very high political profile as Chancellor of the Exchequer. And that has to be good for votes. You do see now, don't you?
Well, yes, but with respect, Minister, the Chancellor is Mr. Killjoy. I mean, raising taxes on beer and cigarettes and cutting down on public expenditure goes down awfully badly with the electorate.
Maybe I don't want to be Chancellor of the Exchequer. There's no escape in that job, is there?
Unless, of course, you're sent to the Foreign and Commonwealth Office as a punishment.
Punishment?
Oh, yes. That's an even worse job.
No votes in foreign affairs, you mean?
Exactly. The FCO loves foreigners, but the British people want you to be nasty to them.
Quite. As far as world politics goes, of course, the Foreign Office is just an irrelevance. We've no real power. We're just a sort of American missile base, that's all. Yes. Between the devil and the deep blue sea, aren't I?
Unless, of course, there is one other option.
What other option?
Do the middle job.
Middle job? What? Home Secretary? Be responsible for all the muggings, jail breaks and race riots?
No, be the one who takes all the credit.
What do you mean? You mean... don't mean.
So, how's it all looking from the Chief Whip's office?
You know perfectly well. If Eric gets it, we'll have a split in the party in 3 months. If it's Duncan, we have one in 3 weeks.
The PM's asking to take you into my confidence. I shouldn't be telling you this, but there are, how shall I say, security question marks over both the current candidates.
What question marks?
Alas, I can say no more. The only person I can disclose this to in the PM's absence, and as it is essentially a party matter, is the chairman of the government party.
Jim Hacker.
Yes, he's promised to join us. But in the meantime, do you think that the party can find a compromise candidate?
Could be any one of half a dozen.
I wondered if you'd considered the party chairman himself.
Jim Hacker? Jim Hacker?
Yes, it is possible, isn't it? After all, there have been less likely prime ministers.
Yes. Who?
Oh, there must have been. Excuse me. Yeah? Oh, all right. Send him in. Oh, Minister, so good of you to call.
Morning.
Thank you. Do sit down. Minister, I have a problem, and I need your help.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Can't you run the country on your own?
Yes, it is a rather grave matter, I'm afraid.
Yes, of course.
It's to do with the leadership election. Now, the PM felt that we had no alternative but to call you, Evan.
That bad, eh?
There are certain items of confidential information which, whilst in theory they might be susceptible of innocent interpretation, do nevertheless contain a sufficient element of, shall we say, ambiguity, so that were they to be presented in a less than generous manner to an uncharitable mind, they might be a source of considerable embarrassment and even conceivably hazard, were they to impinge upon the deliberations of an office of more than usual sensitivity.
I'm sorry? He's talking about security question marks.
Security? What do you mean?
Secret.
Yes, I know what security is.
What do you mean? I'm not allowed to know.
Why not?
Security.
So you see, Minister, since in the PM's absence you are deputising on party matters, perhaps I can show you this. It's the security file on the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Now, technically, of course, I can't show you any of it, but, under the circumstances, I feel I can show you the relevant items. Now, here's a summary of the reports from the security services. Special branch. Yeah. Oh, yes, interview with his driver. And the PM's confidential memo. Strictest secrecy, of course.
dirty old...
You wouldn't have thought he had the time, would you? Workaholic like Eric?
Well, my experience has been that people who are highly active in one area of life tend to be equally active in all the others.
To look at him, you wouldn't think he went in.
Yes, I understand that the current expression is horizontal jogging.
Of course, all this was some time ago, wasn't it? And none of it seems very conclusive.
No. That's why the PM thought it was all right for him to be Chancellor, but in view of the Yugoslavian one and the two South Africans, not to mention the shady lady from Argentina. And it's thought that she is just a cover, anyway.
Cover? What for? Good heavens, if all these ladies were just covers, what on earth were his real requirements?
I really can't tell you.
Ooh.
So you see, it was thought of defence and the Foreign Office might be, shall we say, a little too delicate.
Yes, I can see that.
And then, of course, if he were PM, then he'd be head of the security services as well. It's unthinkable.
What you're saying is that it's got to be Duncan.
Yes, well, I was coming to that. Now, this is his special branch again. Then we have the fraud squad. Inland Revenue. Secret auditor's reports. And the Bank of England Foreign Exchange Division. How much do you want?
All this was technically legal at the time, wasn't it?
Yes, it may have been, technically. But it certainly ruled him out of consideration for the Treasury.
How did they get all this? MI5?
Well, let's just say it has all been gone into quite enough.
Like the shady lady. Isn't it all astounding, all this?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Humphrey, I don't want you to think me foolish.
Oh, Minister, perish the thought.
Forgive me, Geoffrey. Why is Geoffrey here?
We dare not allow these scandals. If they are as embarrassing as you both seem to think, it will be a deep embarrassment to the country and to the party if either of them became head of government. We don't want to be caught with our trousers down.
Like Eric. Yes, well, this is serious.
Very serious.
Very serious.
What could happen if either of them became PM?
Something very serious indeed.
Very serious.
I see.
Serious repercussions.
Serious repercussions.
Of the utmost seriousness.
Yes, that is serious.
In fact, I would go so far as to say that it could hardly be more serious.
Well, I think we're all agreed then. This is serious.
Yes.
What happens now?
Well, we've got to get the party to agree on another candidate. Quick.
The Chief Whip wondered whether you had any ideas.
As your party chairman?
Well, it's rather difficult. You're looking for somebody with outstanding qualities. A potential prime minister.
Someone who's sound.
Yes. Likeable?
Flexible?
Yes. Normal?
Solvent?
Yes.
And acceptable to both wings of the party.
Oh. And someone who understands how to take advice, Minister.
Yes. Well, gosh, who can I suggest?
Have you thought of doing the job yourself?
Why not?
Wouldn't you want to be Prime Minister?
Well, of course, I'd love to be, but it's a very big job. I'm not sure I could. Prime Minister...
Perhaps the minister feels that he's not absolutely prime ministerial calibre, Geoffrey.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that, Humphrey.
No, Minister, not in my mind, but you do seem a little hesitant.
Well, modesty forbids, but there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that I could do the job.
Modestly put, Minister.
There's only one fly in the ointment. You are a bit of an outsider, unless you could stage manage some sort of public success in the next few days.
Well, it's all over. I'm up to my neck in the Euro sausage. Wouldn't it be enough to start campaigning? Just let people know that I want the job.
Quite the reverse, I think. Oh. Better to let people know you don't want it.
Would that be right?
Well, as long as you tell everybody you don't want it, yes.
Leave the campaigning to me. If anybody asks you, simply say you have no ambitions in that direction.
Yes, of course. But supposing somebody were to say, does that mean you'd refuse to stand? You know how these media people try to trap you.
Well, Minister, it's not my place. But on previous occasions, a generally acceptable answer has been that While one does not seek the office, one has pledged oneself to the service of one's country, and if one's friends were to persuade one that that was the best way one could serve, one might reluctantly have to accept the responsibility, whatever one's own private wishes might be.
Private wishes might be. Yes, I think I've got that. So, it's a three-way election, then.
Ideally, it should be an unopposed election. Unity goes down very well with the public. And a lot of the party would welcome that.
Eric and Duncan wouldn't.
Eric and Duncan must be persuaded to withdraw.
Oh, you mean you'll have a word with them both?
I can't. I haven't seen the files.
No, haven't you, Humphrey, then?
No, Minister, it's an internal party matter. It would be most improper.
Well, who... You don't mean... I can't.
No one else can.
You're asking me to tell one of my colleagues that he's a swindler and the other one that he's a pervert.
Well, not in so many words, Minister. You can say that you don't believe that they've done anything wrong, but just let them know that you know something.
Well, tell me to mind my own bloody business.
Then you say that as party chairman, it's your duty to see this information reaches those who need to know. The party executive, its major contributors, an elder statesman, patrons, the palace, perhaps. You must tell each of them that they have no alternative but to pull out and support someone who will protect them.
Me, to protect them?
Well, their private life is nobody else's business as long as security is not involved.
I don't think I've got the stomach for the task.
You have no choice now that you know.
Well, nobody else knows that I know. Let's just forget all about it.
That would be very courageous.
Courageous? Why?
Well, if anything were to happen, and later on it were to emerge, that you had the information and suppressed it.
You mean you'd leak it?
Covering up for your chum.
Greater love hath no man than this, that he should lay down his career.
Oh, you're threatening me.
No, Minister, I'm helping you.
You see, Jim, there's one other quality prime ministers need.
The killer instinct.
The killer instinct.
Ah, thanks. Well, here's number 10, eh?
Thanks. I mean...
What's up, Jim?
Duncan, I have a problem.
You're not going to support me?
Yes, no.
Yes, no?
Exactly. Some information has come my way.
Oh, yeah?
Serious information concerning your personal financial operations.
I beg your pardon?
About the collapse of Continental in general.
Well, that was just bad luck.
And the previous transfer of funds to directors' nominee companies.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Technically, but in conjunction with a similar case at Offshore Securities...
Where did you get all this?
I'm sorry, Duncan, but if you're in the running for PM, I shall feel obliged to share what I know with senior party members. You see, if it should all come out into the open, there'd have to be a full inquiry by the Inland Revenue Fraud Squad. Of course, none of that need matter if it's all about board, as you say it is. And I'm sure it is, if you say so.
Well, there was nothing improper.
Oh, good. Then I shall feel free to talk about it all. Bring it all out into the open.
Hold on. Financial matters can be misinterpreted. People will get hold of the wrong end of the stick.
How true.
Look, Jim, I'm not sure that I really want number 10. The Foreign Office is a better job in many ways, but I won't support Eric.
Suppose Eric didn't get it. How would it be if you were to transfer all your support to someone else?
Who?
Well, it'd have to be somebody who recognized your qualities. Somebody who'd want you to stay at the Foreign Office. Someone who could be discreet about Continental in general. Someone you could trust. An old friend.
Do you mean you?
I have absolutely no ambition in that direction.
You do mean you.
I see.
You do realize this is serious, don't you, Eric?
Yes. And you're not going to help me, right?
Yes.
Yes, you are, or yes, you're not?
Yes, sir.
Jim?
Yes, I'm going to help you, but not to become PM.
You said you were.
That was before I knew all about the lady from Argentina. And others.
I see.
You see, as party chairman, I have my duty. It would be a disaster for the party if you were to become PM and all this were to come out. I mean, I wouldn't care to have to explain it to Her Majesty. Would you?
I'll withdraw.
I think that's very sensible. So, we'll say no more about it to anyone.
Thanks, Jim. So, Duncan will get number 10, my God.
Not if I can help it.
Who then?
Cheers.
You don't mean you.
Me? Our children are reaching the age where Annie and I are hoping to spend much more time with each other.
You do mean you.
Prime Minister.
Humphrey, what's all the hurry?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I've just been able to arrange a brief meeting with the European Commissioner.
Nice, but he's flown out this morning.
No, his flight's been delayed.
Oh, so?
Well, I think we might be able to persuade him to solve our little sausage problem.
Humphrey, how? Well,
excuse me. Yes? Oh, yes, ask him to come in, will you? Thank you. Leave it to me. Just give me support when I ask for it. Ah, Murray, is that very
Humphrey.
Nice to see you.
Come on,
you know, darling.
Yes, Jim.
To what do I owe this pleasure?
The minister asked me to arrange this little meeting to see if you could help us with a problem.
Problem? Of course.
Now, the problem is that the EEC is becoming very unpopular over here. Isn't that so, Minister?
Very unpopular.
And you want to restore its image?
Yes.
No.
No.
And the problem is that the Minister feels that there would be more votes, that he would be better expressing the views of the British people by joining the attack on the EEC than by leaping to its defence.
Exactly.
But your government is committed to support us.
The minister's point, as I understand it, is that the government's commitment is to the concept and to the treaty.
Treaty.
It's not committed to the institutions, nor to the practices, nor to individual policies. The minister was giving me an example the other day, weren't you, Minister? About food production.
Oh, yes. I've discovered that one of your officials spends all his time paying farmers to produce masses of surplus food, while somebody in the next office pays people to destroy the surpluses.
That's not true.
No?
He's not in the next office. Not even on the same floor.
And the minister has hundreds of similar examples, haven't you, Minister? And the nub of the problem is that the minister is beginning to think that some member of the cabinet ought to start telling the British people about them.
That would be intolerable. Even the Italians wouldn't stoop that low.
Aren't being asked to redesignate salami as emulsified, high-fat, offal tubing.
Ah. And what are you proposing? After all, we are committed to harmonization. We cannot collide the sausage. What do you suggest?
Well, politics is about presentation. Why don't we call it the British sausage.
British sausage. Saucisse anglaise. Saucisse anglaise. British wurst. Yes. I think we could. Recommend that to the Commission.
Splendid. The Minister's always said that the EEC is a splendid institution, haven't you, Minister?
Splendid.
European correspondents are all here now, Minister.
Good, let them in.
Will you send them in? Presumably this is to tell them about the sausage problem.
That's right, Bernard.
And that you've solved it.
Well, no, Bernard. Solved problems aren't news stories to the press. Bad news is good news.
I'm not going to give them a non-story today. I'm going to give them a disaster today, a triumph tomorrow.
Oh, I see.
Good morning, gentlemen. Come on. Sit down. They're going to come. Now, look, all this is on a lobby basis, non-attributable, but we've got some trouble coming up with Brussels. As I suppose somebody's going to tell you about it anyway sometime. I better tell you about it now myself. The trouble is that Brussels is about to make the British sausage illegal under EEC regulations.
Minister, they're not eating sausage illegal, just the name.
Thank you, Bernard. I'll be dealing with that.
What do you mean, illegal?
Well, effectively illegal. The pork sausage will have to contain 75% lean pork. And the same for the beef sausage.
75% lean pork, too.
75% lean beef. Which, of course, would put it in the luxury food bracket.
When is this being promulgated?
Next month, probably. They'll deny it, of course. Probably tell you they're just discussing change its name or something.
What is the government going to do about it?
I just don't know. It's a big problem. I won't pretend we've got an answer. Well, I must rush. That's all I've got for now. Any more questions?
When can we use this?
Tomorrow, as far as I'm concerned. Right? Bernard will give you a drink in the press office. Thank you so much for coming.
Minister, you do realize the press will be printing something that isn't true.
Really? How frightful.
Today's big story about the proposed European ban on the British sausage has caused a major political storm. Westminster sources say the sausage could be another banana skin. And they add to the government's problems with the succession. Senior people in the party are increasingly troubled by the fact that the two obvious candidates for the leadership represent the extreme wings of the party. Pressure is mounting for them to withdraw in favour of a compromise candidate. But none of the other contenders so far seems to have caught the public imagination. Now, sport, there are only two matches in the capital.
Is that true about the compromise candidate?
I believe so.
Where do they get their information from?
I can't imagine, but... Anyway, I never said compromise. I said moderate.
Incidentally, Minister, why are BBC Television and ITN covering your speech this evening?
I can't imagine, Bernard.
I mean, I know that fire and safety policy in government buildings is awfully important.
You actually suggested that I was going to raise other issues as well.
Who?
Can't imagine, Bernard. I am a good European. I believe in the European ideal. Never again shall we repeat the bloodshed of the two world wars. Europe is here to stay. But this does not mean that we'll have to bow the knee to every directive from every little bureaucratic Bonaparte in Brussels. We are a sovereign nation still. We are British and proud of it. We have made enough concessions to the European Commissar Agriculture, and when I say Commissar, I use the word advisedly. We've swallowed the wine lake, we've swallowed the butter, we've watched our friends beating up British lorry drivers carrying good British lamb to the French public. We have bowed, scraped, doffed our caps, tugged our forelocks, and turned the other cheek, but I say enough is enough. The Europeans have gone too far. They are now threatening the British sausage. They want to standardize. By which they mean they'll force the British people to eat salami and bratwurst, garlic-ridden, greasy food. Alien to the British way of life. Do you want to eat salami for breakfast with your egg and bacon? I don't. And I won't. They've turned our pints into litres and our yards into metres. We gave up the tanner, threatening bit, the two bob piece and the half crown, but they cannot and will not destroy the British sausage. Not while I'm here. In the words of Martin Luther, here I stand. Strong stuff, Minister. Well, I feel strongly about it. I sometimes wonder whether you media people just realize how strongly we others feel about Britain, about our country. We love it and we're proud of it.
So you're at odds with government policy over the EEC?
I'm very happy with government policy, Sir Ludovic. Mr. Kent. But it's never been government policy to abolish the British sausage. Sausages are not only good to eat, you know, they're full of top-quality nourishment.
No, Sir Brussels has denied ever wanting to abolish the British sausage.
Well, they would, wouldn't they? They know what they're up against. They know the strength of British public opinion.
Your speech got a lot of coverage and a lot of praise. Was there any significance in the timing?
I'm sorry?
Well, your party is looking for a new leader, and your name has been mentioned a few times.
Quite a lot. Yes. But, no, I've no ambitions at all in that direction.
So you definitely won't be letting your name go forward?
Well, Ludo, all I've... all I've ever wanted to do is serve my country. I've never sought office. Of course, if my colleagues were to persuade me that the best place to serve from was number 10 Downing Street, well, I might perhaps reluctantly be persuaded to undertake the responsibility, whatever my own private wishes might be.
So, if you're not in the running, who will you be voting for?
Well, of course, it's far too early to say. But I will say this. This is a time for healing. A time to stress what we agree about, not what we disagree about. We should be looking for the good in our opponents, not always be looking for the faults. There's good in everyone, you know, Ludo.
Except the French.
Even the French.
Minister, a message came through from Central House while you were in Cabinet Committee.
Yes. Yes.
They brought the party meeting forward. It started an hour ago.
Brought it forward?
Yes, any moment now the committee will have decided whether or not they're going to bring up another candidate to oppose you in the election. But the chief whip will be phoning through the moment it's over.
Will they? What if they have? Which phone?
What?
Which phone will he ring on?
Oh, this one, probably. Or this one. Either, really.
The only danger is if Duncan and Eric withdraw, which they will, they might not support me, and that'll mean an election.
Yes, quite, but I understand that you're the favourite candidate for both factions, in which case you'd be unopposed.
That's what they say. Oh, well. No point in worrying about it. Might as well sit down and relax.
Yes. 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 Bernard has an urgent message.
Minister, the palace has been on the phone.